I love how Jesus desires not one man or woman to be lost. He's forever looking for people. And God is looking into your heart this morning. I don't know who you are, where you come from. Some of you I know, some of you I don't. There might be people watching online for the first time. I'm here to tell you this morning that God has destined for you to be here, destined for you to be sitting in one of the locations, destined for you to be watching online. God has a plan for your life. Come on, if there's somebody that agrees with that, won't you say amen this morning? Run up to this morning, ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to share with your people? I ask Him that question every time. No desire to preach a sermon. I've just got a desire to share the heart of the Lord with you. And the Lord spoke to me about a shift. And that's the one word I think as Empower Church that we've heard quite a bit the last couple of weeks. That God is busy shifting things. Is there anybody that's sensing how God is shifting things in our church? Come on, am I speaking to the right church? Okay, I am. Durban, Cape Town, how's things looking there? There's a shift that God is busy doing in this church. And as I was sitting with the Lord this week, I felt the Lord said, Eric, it's my desire that not one man or one woman will be left behind, but that every person will make a shift with me in this season. I want to speak to you this morning for the next 3 to 4 hours around the title. Around the title, God Shift. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, God Shift. God is shifting things and I'm shifting with Him. Look at the other neighbor, say, I'm shifting with Him. Can I just be honest with you for a moment? I have never been as excited about God and the things of God as what I am this time in my life. It's the God's honest truth. If I look back on the journey of my life, I have never been as excited as what I am right now. To be honest with you, if I have to describe how I'm currently feeling, I feel like somebody that's about to go on holiday. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right people. I sat this morning with the Lord and I woke up early and I just sat there with a brilliant cup of coffee. Thank Jesus for good coffee. And I was thinking to myself, Jesus, I'm so excited to be going to church this morning. I'll just go right now and just... And in me, there's that excitement. And I actually thought back of when I was a little boy and we were about to go on a family holiday. I'm not sure if you've ever gone on a family holiday. You know that feeling that you have the night before you go? I mean, there's a sense of craziness in the house. Everybody's running around. I'm looking for this. Mom, I still need to iron this. Dad, I want to pack this. Where's the that? There's a bit of holy chaos happening in the house. Or is it just my house? Okay. Tough crowd this morning. So there's a bit of holy chaos, but there's that sense of excitement because we're going somewhere. That's exactly how I feel in the spirit. I feel there's a bit of holy chaos around us currently. And in our own lives, we've just been experiencing some things that's been happening that's not the norm. But in the midst of all of that, there's just some excitement in my heart for what God is about to do. I know that we are packing our bags and we are moving somewhere as a body of Christ. I don't know yet where we're going. I don't know what this journey will hold. But my prayer has been this week to say, Jesus, wherever you're shifting us as a church, I'm shifting with you, Lord. I'm not being left behind. And as I was praying and just spending time with God in this week, I was constantly being reminded about the story of the Israelites. I've preached on the Israelites so many times in my life because it's such a significant picture of just the journey that all of us go through in our lives. Where God leads us from one place to another. God is always moving, by the way. Wouldn't you agree? There's never something like God being stagnant. He's always moving. Question is, are we moving with Him? Are you moving with Him? We don't have to know where He's going. I just need to be on the bus. It's like, it doesn't matter where you're taking us, Lord. I'm going with. Can we do something quickly? Everybody, whether you're watching online, in a location or in this building, I want you to close your eyes for a moment and say, yes, Lord. Say it again, say, yes, Lord. Jesus, we don't know where you're taking us. We want you to know that we're saying yes, Lord. We don't know what you want to do this morning completely, fully, but we just want to say from the outset, yes, Lord. Whatever you want to do, yes, Lord. Say it again, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray that. So shall it be. I think that's the best prayer we can pray, by the way. Just to say, Jesus, whatever you want to do in my life, the answer is yes. Talking about going on holiday, can I just maybe leave a picture with you around shift? If you sit in a car and you turn the wheels, it doesn't mean that the car is turning. For that car to turn, there's got to be movement. And I fear for people that's trying their best to turn the steering wheels of their lives in a direction, but they're not turning because they're not moving with God. And my one desire this morning is that as you leave this place, that you would leave feeling like there's movement in your journey with God. That whatever God wants to do, whatever way that steering wheel needs to go, that there will be movement because you're moving with Him. Come on, if you agree with that, say amen, Lord. May there be movement in my life. So I journeyed through the desert with the Israelites in this week. I read through the book of Exodus as they just journeyed out of Egypt. I felt like God wanted to show me something there. I was looking for what the Lord wanted to highlight this morning. It's actually so much in that book, in that journey, that I can preach on. Like I said, my aim was not to preach a sermon, it's to hear the heart of the Lord. And as I read through that scripture, the book of Exodus, I just found like the Lord wanted me to stand still in Exodus chapter number 33 and 34. Such a profound piece of scripture, yet an incredibly sad moment in the Israelites' journey. Bit of background, they came out of Egypt through the Red Sea, incredible things that God did in the desert. They saw God, a pillar of cloud, fire by night, just an amazing display of His goodness and His power in their lives. Towards Exodus chapter number 20 onwards, God calls them to Mount Sinai and He gives them the Ten Commandments. Many of us grew up in traditional churches where the Ten Commandments sound something like, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Anybody can relate with me. It's not how, if we look at the original language and how it was written, it didn't sound anything like that. God wasn't saying, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal. He was saying, you are not a murderer. You are not a thief. You are not an adulterer. God was proclaiming to them, prophesying over them, sharing with them who He made them to be. They grew up as slaves. They didn't know themselves. They didn't know Him. They knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they themselves didn't know Him. And God brought them to Himself and He shared with them who He is and who they are in Him. Incredible moment. Incredible moment. And Moses goes up the mountain second time to get the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments written on them. And while he's up there, they're preparing a golden calf down at the bottom. You all know the story. God says to Moses, you better go down. People that you led out of Egypt, they're busy worshiping an image that's not me. Moses runs down, you know the story, breaks the tablets of stone, burns the calf, and God is angered by the rebellion of His people. A journey that was supposed to take them a couple of days, weeks at most, eventually ended up in a 40-year journey. God wanted to shift them from Egypt into the promised land, but they themselves were not prepared to make a shift within themselves. And I pray in this morning that we in ourselves will make a shift and say, God, I want to shift with You. I don't want to be the reason why I'm hindered or stopped to possess what You want me to possess. And I sat there and as I read that through Exodus chapter number 33, there was this profound piece of scripture that stands out to me. God says to Moses, I'll send an angel before you. I'll drive out the Hittites, Perizzites, whatever vites out of the land, but I'm not going with you. And Moses pitches a tent of meeting He pitches a place where he goes to seek the face of the Lord, not just for himself. The Bible says he intercedes for the nation of Israel. He says, Lord, even if you remove my name out of your book, God, I beg you for this nation that they will not miss it. And Moses says this profound thing to God. Maybe we can throw up chapter number 33, verse 15, 16. 15, 16. Listen to this. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. If you, God, don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth. What a profound statement. Moses says, God, I don't care if I can possess the promise. I don't care if you drive out my enemies. I don't care if I can taste the honey and milk. I don't care of anything else, but I want your presence. God, if you shift us, let us go with you, God. We don't want an angel. We don't want a man. We don't want a promise without you. And as I read that, I thought to myself, what I fear more than people missing the shift is some of us actually making the shift without God. That you would be miserably married for the rest of your life. That you would raise children but never raise them in the way of God. That you will see a financial breakthrough in your life, but the very financial breakthrough that you've been praying for is a thing that destroys you because God is not in that financial breakthrough with you. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right people this morning. Have we become so zealous, passionate, hungry for the things of God that we're saying, God, I don't want anything if you're not in it? I believe that is the God shift that God is looking for. God is able to shift every single one of us from one place to another. Let me tell you, friends, I guarantee you that God is able to shift anything in your life. You can wake up tomorrow and be sickness free. You can wake up tomorrow and have all the provision that you've prayed for. You can wake up tomorrow and see that relationship supernaturally restored. That business that you've been planning and hoping to register can register tomorrow. Anything can happen. But the one thing that God cannot make happen is the shift in our own hearts. It's when we say, God, I've reached a place where I don't care about the promise. I don't care about the milk, the honey, the angel that goes before me, the way that you can conquer enemies on my behalf. I want you. That's what I want. And if that's our prayer, there's nothing God cannot do. Amen. Absolutely nothing. Yes. I want to share with you three things this morning. Just three things, quickly. What I believe God has showed me out of this piece of scripture that is important for us to know, understand, and apply in our lives in seasons of shifting. Whether you have sensed it or not, I can tell you God is busy doing something in this church that we have never seen before. And His work is going way beyond just this church. We're seeing God move in nations abroad like we've not seen before. Other churches, there's things that God is doing that has never been witnessed before. God is doing something supernatural. If you don't believe that coming out of 2 years of COVID, we have not entered into a new shift in the season, then you must have been sleeping for the last 2 years. Every single one of us seated here knows that something has shifted in the world around us. Why? Because something shifted in the spirit. Will we have eyes to perceive it? Will we see it? And will we go with what God is busy doing in this time? Friends, we will never return to life as normal 2019. It will never happen. And thank you, Jesus, that we will never go back to 2019. It's all about how I look at it. Because if I'm looking at, oh God, I wish we could go back to the good old days where petrol was still 11 rand a litre. Jesus, please take us back there, yes. But if I live in the past, I'll never possess what God has for me in the future. Greater things are yet to come. But you've got to believe it. If you're online and you're watching and you believe it, say, I believe it. I believe it, that better things, greater things are yet to come. In this season of shifting, there's three things I want to highlight to you this morning. Number one, God requires a new dimension of devotion. It's a heavy one to start with, but I've got to start there. God requires from you and I a new dimension, a new commitment of devotion. What's interesting as we look at the story of the Israelites is that them worshiping that golden calf at the foot of the mountain was not out of the ordinary. I want you to think with me. They come from Egypt, where idol worship, false gods, was at the norm of the day. It's not the first time that the Israelites were exposed or engaged in an idol form of worship. Remember, all they had for 400 years in Egypt was just the stories of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It wasn't their God. They knew about Him, but they didn't know Him. Think with me. That's why when Moses said, listen, God wants to lead you out of this place, they didn't even know who's Moses talking about. Who is this God that you're talking about? And God needed to reveal Himself to His people. And that's what angered God, is that God revealed Himself, not just His power on display, His grace, His provision. He revealed Himself to His people, and yet they would build an image to worship. Please note, out of that scripture, because many times in my life when I read that scripture, I was like, why would they do that? I mean, they've just had this incredible encounter with God through the desert. God showed Himself in spectacular ways. Why would they worship a golden calf? Please note, it's not that they said, we don't believe in Yahweh. It's not that they said, we don't believe in God anymore. We believe in a calf. They just wanted a tangible image of what they believe. And because they didn't know God, that's what they looked to. Because that's the image that they were exposed to. A young bull was an ordinary kind of idol, not just in Egypt, but in Canaan as well. It was a sign of power and fertility. That's why when Aaron said, okay, well, if you want a physical object that you can actually see and look to, give me your gold earrings and I'll make you something. And what was his reference point? A young bull, a calf. That's what he made. Because that's what he saw. Bible actually says they grew impatient with Moses. I mean, if it was 40 years, it's one thing. 40 days, and they're like, Jesus, oak is not coming back. Let's just make something that we can look at, touch, that resembles our God. So they weren't rebelling against God, saying He's not my God. They just wanted an image of God Himself. And you know what the scary thing is in the modern day? That we live in, we do the same thing. We do exactly the same thing. God calls people to Himself. And many believers say, no, Moses, you go. You hear from Him and you come tell us what He says. And many people are trying to make for themselves an image that resembles the God that they serve. For many people, their spouse's relationship with God is the golden calf that they serve. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right people. For many people, their pastor is the golden calf that they serve. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to the right church this morning. They're not saying I resist Jesus. They're saying I love Jesus, but I'll go to Jesus through this man. And I'm not saying that God doesn't use people in our lives. Don't make a mistake here. I'm saying that you cannot worship a person. Yes. And if you do, you'll never make the shift. I promise you, you'll never make the shift because people will disappoint you. Many people, the image that they worship is the church that they go to. Woe unto you if Empowered Church becomes more important than the God of Empowered Church. This church has been given by God as a powerful force in the kingdom of light to raise people up. But ultimately, our goal is one goal and one goal only, and that is to point people to Jesus, not become the Jesus that people relate to. And the more accurately we can point people to Jesus, the bigger this church will become. That's why we're planting locations, seeing churches grow in Durban and cities around this nation. Why? Because we are pointing people to Jesus. And I can show you out of history, wherever a church has become the end destination, God Himself will implode that church. Because He will not be mocked. He's a jealous God. He longs for you. He longs for your affection. He longs for your devotion. He longs for your commitment. He longs for your love. He will not share that with a man, a church, an organization, a missionary out in the field. Nobody. He wants your heart. And we see that point number two in Moses' life. Moses, in that moment where God says, Moses, you can take these people. Rebellious, stiff-necked, see some of the translation. You can take them. I'll send an angel before you. I'll make a way for you. I'll cast out your enemies before you. I'll give you the milk and the honey. I'll keep my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I'm not going with you. Moses said, God, if you don't go, I'm not going. And Moses pitches a tent of meeting. He pitches his own little tent. And there he seeks the face of the Lord. Scripture says that whenever Moses entered that tent, the people would stand at the doors of their tents and watch Moses go in there. And the pillar of God's presence would come and rest upon that tent. One of the most beautiful scriptures in the Bible says that Moses spoke to God as a man would speak to his friend. Do we still believe that it's possible to speak to God as a man speaks to his friend? Yes, it is, friends. Yes, it is. And Moses pitched his tent there. And there he cried on the name of the Lord. He said, God, I want you to go with me. Friends, I want to say to you this morning, if we would not be people that live and love God from our inner rooms, God will never create public platforms for us. Never. We can try and create them for ourselves. They will always fail. But if we are a people that live from our inner rooms, God establishes platforms for us to build on. And that's why we're seeing this church doing such incredible things out there. Because it's a church that's devoted to love God in our inner rooms. As I was praying yesterday afternoon, I was sitting on my bed, great place to pray, sometimes not at all, but it was a great place yesterday. And as I was praying, I saw a sign that just says, in private. I said, Lord, speak to me. And I felt the Lord speak to me, and He says, Eric, I'm calling people back to in private discussions, in private moments. Actually looked at the meaning of private. Listen to this. I just have to share this with you. I'm not preaching from the dictionary. I'm just saying, listen to how beautifully the dictionary says this. The word private means belonging to or for the use of just one person in particular. And the other meaning of private, some of our military men and women will know, it means it's the name that you give to the lowest person in the rank. Yes, private. It's the lowest rank in a military army. And as I read those two descriptions, Lord said to me, Eric, that's the key to private, powerful moments with me, is that I would be your only object of devotion and that you would come in with humility into those places. I have yet to see a proud man that has intimate moments with God. I want to say that again. I have yet to find a proud man that has intimate moments with his master. He might preach powerful sermons from a platform. He might be roaring like a lion if he's got a mic in his hand. But it's only the humble. It's only those that have come in true humility that know their God. It's those people that God invite into powerful moments with Him. How's your tent looking? I'm serious. How's your tent? Have you got a tent? May our lives not be reduced to a corporate tabernacle without having a place of meeting of my own. May we come from our inner rooms into this corporate environment, celebrate Jesus and give Him praise, and then run back to my inner tabernacle, my own place of meeting, your room, your couch, your toilet. Doesn't matter where you meet with Him. But are you still pitching your tent? God is looking for people that will pitch their tents. It's beautiful about the story. Just a quick note on pitching a tent. Whenever Moses would leave that tent, Joshua would be the one that hides himself in that same tent. Bible actually says that the people also went to that place of meeting. That one man's devotion to God, his humble devotion to God, would stir a nation of people, not just to observe the actions of one man, but they themselves went into pursuit of a God that is able to shift their lives. Third thing, I believe in this time of shifting, God is not just looking for our deepening of devotion or me pitching a tent of meeting. God desires us to be people in pursuit of who He is. The one thing that stands out in the scripture more than anything else was Moses' devotion to know God. I want to read two scriptures. Listen to this. So Moses sits in that tent of meeting and he prays, Exodus 33 verse 15. And he says, he doesn't say, God, please, don't go back on your promise. Please, God, you know, the Hivites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the whatever-vites are waiting for us. Please, God, keep your promise. Destroy our enemies on our behalf. Please, God, you say you'll give milk and honey. Please, God, you know how we need that. No. Moses' one desire was this. Verse 15, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully. Says, God, I've got one desire and one desire only. It is to know you. I want to know you, God. And he becomes desperate for the presence of God. He says, God, show yourself to me. Hey, when last have we prayed those kinds of prayers? When last have you cried out to God and say, God, show yourself to me. God, wake me in the night and show yourself to me. I want to see you, God. And God does this incredible thing. There's such an amazing story that I'm not going to jump into the detail of that. But God comes down, says the Bible, and he hides Moses in the cleft of the rock. And he says, I'm going to walk past you. You can't see my face. It's too much glory there, Moses. But I'll show you as I walk past you who I am And listen to this, such a beautiful scripture. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, chapter 34, verse 5 to 6. It says, the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. Come on, he needed to hear that because he was just told by the same God that because of the rebellion and stiff-necked people, I'm not going with you. But God says, Moses, I am a God that forgives the rebellion and sin and stiff-neckedness of people, even to 1,000 generations. What an incredible picture. God walks past him and he proclaims to Moses who he is. And that satisfies Moses. God, that I may know you. Moses comes from the mountain as he goes back to get the second pair of tablets now, because the first ones he broke. And he comes down after meeting God in that kind of way. And the Bible says his face shines with glory. Literally had to wear a veil because the glory of God was shining through him. Come on. Do we still believe that the glory of God can be that visible, tangible on our lives? Moses says, God, I want to know you. I want to know you, not about you. I want to know you. I don't want somebody's stories of you. I want you. I don't want the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want my own story, God. I believe it's impossible to miss the shift of any season if God is the object of my affection. I want to say that again. It's impossible to miss the shift of any season when he becomes the object of my affection. Why? Because he's too big to miss. God is too big to miss if I live my life for him. If my desire is to know him, I cannot miss him. God will never fail me. He will never fail you. If he is the object of everything we desire, there's no shift in no season that we will ever miss. Because God is the one that will lead us into every one of those shifts. I want to close and I want to pray for people this morning. I believe the Lord wants to minister to individuals this morning, but I first want to pray for every single one of us. Because as I was preparing for this morning, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about people that finds themselves in places where you have become so focused on whatever golden calf, an image even of something that looks like him, that you have become stuck in a place, and God wants to unstuck you in this morning. My apologies to all the English-speaking people in the house. I don't even know if that's a word. It just felt like a great word at the moment. But God wants to unstuck you from wherever you find yourself, that whatever God wants to do in your life, in your family, in this church, in our nation, in the kingdom, that you will not miss it, that you will not be so stuck, busy with things, golden calves, images that represent God, but it's not God, that nothing but nothing will hinder you from moving into what God wants to do in this time. Friends, I encourage you, I challenge you, I implore you in this morning, let go of everything that keeps you busy. Just let go of all sinfulness, all rubbish that the enemy uses to keep you busy. I want to be bold this morning. Can I be bold and just maybe offend somebody? If I do, please forgive me. But this is not the season to watch every series on Netflix. This is not the season to play golf every moment that you've got spare. This is not the season to be caught up in stuff that keeps you busy. God hasn't got a problem with your TV, hasn't got a problem with golf. I'm saying if those things keeps you from making a shift into what God wants to do, just let it go in this time. I beg you, don't be busy with things that's not important. Just let it go. I mean it. We can't be in a corporate gathering like this and say amen at the right places, but then I go home and I just lay in front of my TV the rest of the week. God will not shift you anywhere, my friend. I'm sorry to say, God will not shift you anywhere. You've got to pitch your tent. You've got to pitch your tent. If you've not spent time in your inner room, if you've not spent time in the tent of meeting, why would you want to spend time anywhere else? Please, God is not out to spoil your fun. As you get to know Him, you will see there's nothing more adventurous than God. There's nothing more adventurous than Him. Can we stop with whatever we're busy doing that has no eternal value and just pursue God with everything we've got? Pitch our tents, love Him, pursue Him, call on His name for ourselves, for our families, for the people around us. Moses didn't just lie there and say, God, okay, leave them, just take me. He said, God, take all of us. And it's my prayer this morning that God take all of us into the new. Maybe we can do that if you're saying, God, I'm going into the new. Won't you stand with me? Come on, let's make a prophetic declaration this morning. Say, God, I'm going into the new. God is not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for people that will say, God, I want to go with. I don't care where the bus is going. Take me with Jesus. I don't care the price we have to pay. I just want to go with Jesus. If you're online and you can stand, stand with me. If you're driving, don't. What can God not do with a church like this? Close your eyes. Just forget about me for a moment and focus on Jesus. I pray that you would in this very moment be overwhelmed by the beauty of Jesus. That you would look in His face and see that burning desire that He has for you. And that you would be drawn into His love. Rosto bondribia rapakat. Heilige Gees. Holy Spirit, draw people in this morning. Draw them in, I pray, God. Forget about everything around you. Just focus on Jesus. Let your attention, let your focus shift to Him. Make a God shift right now. I feel there's people that need to deal with golden calves right now. God will not share His glory, loves you too much. If there's something in your life that's become an object of your affection, can be a person, even a religious organization, can be your hobby, can be the pursuit of money, That calf represented power and fertility. Maybe you're looking for strength and fruitfulness in things that's not God. Make a decision right now to say, God, I break down every form of idol worship in my life. I will not share you with anything. Come on, make your prayer personal.